Here we go. Final seconds.
Clutch is his name. Talking sports is his game.
End zone. Touchdown with no time left.
Pushing the limits.
They win on the last play of the ball game.
There are no limits.
Are you kidding?
Who can you count on to make the last throw or shot?
Wow, and the game is over.
Mikey Clutch. This is the final play.
Unbelievable.
We are back. Welcome into the final play with Mikey Clutch. I'm your host, Mikey Clutch. Welcome in. Week 3. Gonna break it down. Hopefully, we got a few games. We got the debt-free pick 3 at the end of the show. Stay tuned for that. We're hot. 4-2 record to start the season. I thought I was gonna go perfect last week. We were close. One team didn't cover. It was a 5.5-point spread. They won by 3, and we'll get into that because there were some wild finishes I want to touch on before we get into Thursday night football recap. Then I got a few matchups that I think are must-watch. How the turntables. We only got one, but it's a good one. It's a juicy one. It's a guy that I've been very high praise throughout the show. I even brought it up last week. So we'll get into that. We got some QB injuries, which really sucks. Another one we're going to get into to start here with the wild finishes of week 2, that there were three big ones that went back and forth. There was almost a fourth. Carolina made it interesting there, getting that onside kick, but they just couldn't do anything after they recovered it. Almost made it a really, really good one against Arizona there. But they just couldn't do it, so they didn't make the cut. But we got three really good ones, and I'm going to start with those Bengals, versus the Jags at home. Joe Burrow, if you're a fan of the show and have been a listener, you know he's my favorite quarterback in the league. I just love Joe Burr. Joe Cool. And he just, can't get past some of these injuries. He's got the turf toe, going to miss at least 3 months, which sucks. So he's going to have, I think he already had the surgery to repair some of that ligament damage. But Jake Browning has proven to be a really good backup, potentially the best backup in the league. You might be able to say Kirk Cousins over there in Atlanta. But Jake Browning, a couple years ago, 9-8, the Bengals finished 9-8 with him taking over that starting role with another Burrow injury. So we know he can keep the Bengals in games, can win them games. And in that Zach Taylor offense, which people kind of doubt him with his decision making, but I will say he knows how to coach a damn offense. So this game was pretty back and forth in the fourth quarter and third quarter. Jags had that lead at half, but Bengals came down, scored, tied it up. But Browning threw 3 picks. So it could have probably looked a little bit better for the Bengals. But we'll just go down, fast forward to the fourth quarter, right? The Jags are in the lead, right? 27-24. Have a chance to kick a field goal to go up 30-24. And this is what I was hearing all week and watching all week, people scratching their heads with the decision-making of Cohen. I say you do go for that touchdown because, again, people were saying, oh, make the Bengals drive down and try and score a touchdown, which they did. And if the Jags score a touchdown, they are now up 2 scores instead of up 6, with the Bengals having to drive at least 65 yards. And with the new kickoff return rules, it could have been closer. Instead, all right, you miss it. Now you're forcing them to drive 92 yards and hoping your defense gets a stop or at least holds them to the field goal to send it to overtime. But the Bengals put on a fantastic drive, and they do end up driving down 92 yards to get the touchdown and win the game 31-27. They were able to chew a lot of clock and leave really only, I believe, 18 seconds on the clock for the Jags to finish that game. So everybody all week was like, ah, that's a stupid call. Make them drive down and score the touchdown. But they fucking did. So that's why I didn't understand the takes of them to kick the field goal. They scored anyway. They scored the touchdown. So I think you do go try to get that touchdown. It was 4th and 5. Brian Thomas Jr. should have probably caught the ball. So again, Cohen, I love it. Be aggressive. Make the Bengals, you know, put them down 2 scores instead of the 1, you know, and the game's basically out of reach at that point. I don't have any problems with the call. I think it was the right call. And the Bengals, you know, they methodically drove the ball downfield 15 plays and drew that clock out. And Browning was able to jump over and get the touchdown on the 1 yard line. So Bengals 2-0 start, their best start in the past couple years. We'll see, but that was a really good wild finish there. This next one, part of the debt free pick 3, the only loss last week. Cowboys couldn't cover against the Giants. What did I say? I feel like every time I say I'm going to bet against a quarterback, they come out and have the best game of their career, which week 1 was Daniel Jones. I picked them against picked Miami against Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, great game. Balls out. And here we are, Russell Wilson turning back the clock here. Phenomenal game from Russell Wilson. That moon ball was working. Dallas couldn't keep anybody in front of them. The deep shots were just there. But this game, talk about wild finishes, was definitely the wildest of the day. 41 points scored in the fourth quarter, which is insane. And then how about Brandon Aubrey? He probably already had the best kicker title last year, but this kid just continues to impress. Dallas was not afraid of just kind of getting into the 60-yard range for Aubrey. They draw play, kick it, sends it to overtime, and the rest is history. Russell Wilson kind of fizzled out in overtime through that terrible interception to kind of seal their fate. But the back and forth in the fourth quarter was just crazy. The 41 points scored has to be close to a record in the fourth quarter there. And a lot of it coming like late in the fourth quarter too, which is kind of, you know, the defenses just couldn't stop anything. I'm just trying to go back and look here. It's just field goal, touchdown, 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 and then the field goal to send it overtime. It was 20-16 to start the fourth quarter, and the game ended 40-37. So, yeah, that one was a wild one, a crazy one, divisional game. And it's funny, I hate the Cowboys being on TV because they're America's team. I really don't think they're America's team. I think that's starting to fade away as the years pass and as they have not made it to even the conference, you know, or the Super Bowl at all, just, you know, winning it, whatever. I don't think they're going to win it anytime soon. But Dak has impressed this year. When Dak's healthy, this Dallas team is a different beast, even with the weak defense they have on the back end. So, yeah, wild finish. Russell Wilson, hey, props to you, blowing the only game in the debt-free pick 3 when I wanted to go have a perfect week. And then finally, game 3 of the wild finishes, Colts versus Broncos. I mean, Broncos, if you want to write a book on how to give a game away, the Broncos did it. Bo Nix, you know, throws an interception in Colts territory towards the end of the game. Mind you, the score was 28-23. That turns into an 81-yard drive. All right. Indianapolis kicks a field goal down 28-26. The next Denver drive, a missed field goal. I don't know how you missed that field goal. And then Indy drives down misses the initial game-winning field goal of 60 yards, a leverage penalty against the Broncos, which gave the Colts an extra 15 yards. Now, this is what I don't understand. Sean Payton probably should have talked to his special teams coach on this one. Like, hey, let's not even really rush to block it. It's a rookie kicker in Indianapolis and Schrader, and he's lining up for the biggest kick of his life, 60-yard game winner, and it missed completely wide right and short, but that penalty gives him an easy 45-yarder, you know, basically a chip shot nowadays in NFL, and he nails it, and they Colts go on to win 29-28. So Broncos should be 2-0 right now. It just was a bad decision on the special teams side of it for the Broncos. Again, like, it's already a lot of pressure on that kid to kick a 60-yarder to win the game. So why even risk a leverage penalty, which happened in this case, and he ended up missing it terribly. So, yeah, those were some wild finishes. Like, the Carolina one, again, that could have been a wild finish potentially after the onside. But, yeah, they just couldn't turn that drive after the onside kick into anything against the Cardinals. And Cardinals, hey, 2-0. That division in the NFC West, only one loss, and that's only because Seattle played the Niners week one. So potentially that division could be all 2-0. Because, yeah, they really haven't played each other yet this year. I'll get into the Niners and the Cardinals game in a minute here after I break down Thursday Night Football, which, how about that Thursday Night Football game? Dolphins came to play a little bit. They're looking a little bit better the last 2 weeks after that horrific showing in week one against the Colts. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Tua, with all these concussions that he's been through, it's just he's not the same in the pocket, which where he, you know, made his name in the pocket, being able to stick in there and throw a very accurate ball and hitting guys wide open and in stride, and it's just not there. He as soon as the pocket collapses, he's running out, and he just doesn't have the arm strength to really zip it in if he is going to try and make a play off script. So it's just it is. It's an eyesore when he starts getting under pressure because, yeah, he's just afraid to take hits, which I don't blame him. Missing a lot of games in your career due to concussions, like what, he's got 3 now in the past 5 years, is it? It sucks. It's unfortunate that he had to go through that and take those hits and miss that time. It just sucks because I feel like we're kind of missing out on the ceiling of what this offense and this team could be. And because of that, I think Mike McDaniel, yeah, like, he's probably the first coach fired this year. At least he's in the lead for it, which is also unfortunate. But, hey, I said last year after Saleh got fired, maybe reunite with the Niners, and he did in the offseason. This has the potential, Mike McDaniel, reunite with Shanahan and that team in the end of this year if the Niners kind of slow down offensively as well as the year goes on. But that would be awesome. If we can get that coaching staff back together in San Francisco, that would be, I mean, listen, that could be the secret recipe to getting back to another Super Bowl, even though they were fine and made it there without Saleh and McDaniels a couple years ago. You know, went to overtime against the Chiefs. Anyway, Josh Allen, MVP, reigning MVP, really defending that title well this year. He's looked even better. I mean, this kid has taken a step every year. He is on pace statistically to have his best year. You know, completion percentage is key. He's almost at 70%. He's right around 69.7. But, I mean, the touchdown to interception ratio, which I think the interceptions, other than last year, listen, MVP season, 6 interceptions, his lowest of his career, playing a full season, and you know, that was coming off, I believe, an 18-interception year the year prior. So we know he likes to chuck the ball and kind of thread the needle in some tight spots where he shouldn't. And zero interceptions the first three games, 108 passer rating, which is the best of his career to this point. So he has looked like the guy and starting to become a really good. Listen, he was a clutch player already. End of the game drives, he's going to make those plays. He just has done it again and again, especially against Baltimore week one. Last week was a blowout. And then, yeah, this game, a 21-21 game late. Now, Tua did throw that back-breaking interception, which allowed the Bills to kind of score a touchdown and go up. And then Josh Allen, you know, the end of the game, finding the right guys open to get the first down and get in the field goal range to really punch it out when Miami had a chance to maybe get a stop, force them to punt, get the ball with maybe 30 seconds left, but they just couldn't do it. That defense hasn't looked good at all for Miami. They're giving up a lot of points. Every game they've given up over 30 points. So I think that's kind of what, if this offense is going to put up the points that we've been accustomed to seeing when Tua is healthy, then that defense has to be a lot better on the back end, and they just aren't doing it. So Miami's just, that's why Mike McDaniel's probably going to be fired. And most of it might not even be his fault. His defense can't get stops. There was a really bad penalty on a punt for Buffalo that gave him a first down. And, you know, you could see the frustration on Mike McDaniel, his side and the sideline when they showed him. So, yeah, Dolphins in trouble. But in the Bills, may we say they lock up this division if Allen stays healthy for the whole year. I really don't see the Jets coming close. I don't see the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots maybe giving them a run for their money and giving them a good shot, but I don't see it. The Bills are just too damn good. I don't see them losing more than four games this year. It's been their division, you know, since Brady left. Yeah, Bills and Allen off to a hot start. And we're going to go into a depressing part of the show, QB injuries already. And we do have a matchup where both starting quarterbacks are out, and that is the Bengals and the Vikings. McCarthy's going to be out. Burrow out, as I mentioned with the turf toe. McCarthy, unfortunately, has an ankle sprain, high ankle sprain. He's out. Justin Fields in concussion protocol. Jaden Daniels is also out for the Washington Commanders. And then Purdy, questionable. I don't think he should play. I feel like the Niners should be a little more cautious with him, with that, you know, the toe. And he also had a shoulder injury as well. But he's questionable. Shanahan says it's highly unlikely he plays against the Cardinals. Listen, be cautious, be safe. Cardinals, you've had success against. But let me just transition right to this game, Cardinals and the Niners. They have had success with them, but Kyler Murray, for some reason, is just, man, the pass rush of the Niners is really key against a lot of quarterbacks, but Kyler just seems to always be a little shifty enough to evade the pass rush and use his legs against the Niners. He's very good on the ground against the Niners. There's been plenty of games where the Cardinals upset the Niners because of Kyler Murray has been able to run the ball effectively and get out of trouble and extend plays. And he's just like the kryptonite for the 49ers pass rush the past few years when he's been healthy. And with the quarterback situation being questionable, Mac Jones. Now, I did say he was going to look really good against the Saints, and the Saints are look, they've looked decent the first 2 weeks. It was only a 5-point game, but yeah, the Niners lost both games against Arizona. Now, I really won't count the final week last year when Niners season was over, finished and 11. But the one, again, I go back to Kyler using his legs. They just really sealed the game last year against the Niners. I remember Kyler had a 50-yard touchdown run, and he really iced the game with that in the fourth quarter. And it was really – that was it. I mean, they took the lead 24-23 and were able to hold the Niners from scoring. So, again, that right there is the X factor of this match. It's just Kyler's legs. And if the Niners can't defensively contain him, which they've struggled to do since Kyler's been drafted by the Cardinals, and I feel like the Niners should be able to move the ball. We didn't have McCaffrey in this game last year. So, he's the X factor for the Niners. And if he can run the ball, Jordan Mason had success last year, 89 yards on 14 carries. Niners really ran the ball well. They had over 150 yards running the ball, almost 6 yards per carry. I think they should be able to win it. I'm not confident. I would love to see them go 3-0 in the division. They are home, which is a help. But we'll see. I think Arizona, the passing game, needs to get better. And we'll see how James Conner and Trey Benson look with that two-headed monster rushing the ball against the Niners. That's kind of what I'm looking at in this game. It's just all eyes on Kyler against the Niners defense. All right. We got the one, how the turntables, and it's a juicy one. Former head coach on the road to play or coach against his former team.
Well. How the turntables.
And here it is. Matt Eberflus, defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, on the road against the Chicago Bears, going up against his number one draft pick. Listen, it was not a good showing last week when Ben Johnson went to Detroit. They got smoked. I can't believe that the Bears gave up 52 points. But then again, I can't, because guess who isn't there? Matt Eberflus. And I said this defense in Dallas is going to look good. And again, I'm going to reiterate the two division games. I don't count those. They're division opponents. As I'm just going to beat it like a dead horse. Division games can go either way. They're either shootouts. They're either, both teams shut each other down. But always close games. So I'm not going to read too much into the Bears blowout and the high-scoring shootout of the Dallas Cowboys and New York Giants. But listen, a lot of the story is going to be the Bears defense, which they're missing half their secondary. But my focus is going to be Eberflus's defense with the Cowboys against Caleb Williams, yes, first drive of the first two games, he's looked, can you ask for a better start? Probably not. He's been perfect. Like, he's just looked so great. Decision, throwing the ball on time to the open, with his first read, second read, like he's getting the ball out quickly and he's not holding on to the ball. And that's where I think this is going to get him into trouble. I think Eberflus knows the weakness of Caleb Williams so well, and I think it's going to be a point to prove here, and I think this Dallas defense is going to come hungry and come out to, step up for their boy Eberflus. And I don't know why I like Eberflus so much. I really don't. I liked him when he was in Chicago. I thought he was the first coach that, just had something for this team. And I'm hoping Ben Johnson is that going forward. It hasn't looked great, but again, did they pick the wrong quarterback in the draft? And I was a big fan of Caleb coming out. I'm still a fan of his. I just want him to reel it in a bit. I want him to not be so brash and like cocky and think that this guy, that he's Superman on this team when you've seen and like he knows like this Ben Johnson on script. Look how fucking good he is. Like this offense moves the damn ball and it just looks so fluid. And I just, as the game goes on, Caleb gets worse. And I don't know if this play keeps going halfway through the season and it doesn't progress and get better throughout the, you know, the last three quarters of the game. I don't, are we going to see Tyson Bagent? Like Ben Johnson raved about Bagent in the preseason, and Bagent looked good when he did come in, and he's the type of guy who will stay on script and will hit the reads properly and get the ball there. So that's just something to watch, but I like this Dallas defense. Now could be another high scoring game just with the injuries on both sides of the ball. I kind of think that's also why Dallas has given up some points here. They're very hurt. We could see a good game from the Dallas pass rush, even though they are banged up as well because of Caleb holding onto the ball. But I'm just looking forward to this game. It's in Chicago. It's a 3:25 game. Going to be on Fox against the Cowboys. It's going to be interesting. And Dak healthy, I don't know. I think Dallas, I honestly think they win this game. I think they're favored now. It did open up Bears as the favorites. But yeah, I like Dallas in this spot. But the Bears 0-2, to start 0-3 would be really troublesome. Especially in their division where, you know, they have Green Bay being Green Bay, Detroit looking like Detroit of last year early, and Minnesota. You know, Minnesota, despite the injury to McCarthy, they got Kevin O'Connell. I've said this. This is going to be the best coach division in football, next to maybe the AFC West. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this matchup. All right. That's one game to watch, I guess you could say. But here are the games that I'm really going to hone in on this weekend. And let's start with the Los Angeles Rams traveling to the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles coming off that Super Bowl rematch against the Chiefs, winning it by a field goal. The Rams coming off another win. There's both teams 2-0. Divisional round rematch of last year. The Eagles getting a lot of rematches this year. But yeah, divisional round. Rams actually kept it close. The only team in the playoffs to kind of give the Eagles a run for the money. It came down late. I mean, it was 3rd-and-2. Rams driving to score and potentially take the lead. But then a nine-yard sack puts them 4th-and-11. They turn it over on downs. The rest is history. But this Rams defense early, I get it. They played Cam Ward, rookie, you know, to start the season. And damn, I already forgot who the fuck they played week 1. Let me look real quick. The Texans, you know, giving up 9 points and 19 points in the first two games. Looked really good. But here's kind of where it doesn't look so good for the Rams defense. Last year, in the two games they played, because they played the Eagles in the regular season and kind of got blown out 37-20. But Saquon off to a slow start so far this year, and it could change here, and this is why. Last year, two games, he went for 255 yards, and that was, I believe, in the playoffs. And then the other game, 205 yards. So Saquon Barkley in the two games last year, 460 yards combined against the Rams. Now, Rams, having that data in their pocket, do they focus to shut down the run, put 8 in the box, and maybe now we'll finally see the Eagles' passing game kind of get going? because the Eagles passing game right now, 119 yards per game. I don't need Jalen Hurts hasn't even eclipsed 150 yards. And last year against the Eagles, because Saquon did so well, he didn't really throw for much. So I don't expect the Eagles passing game to look that good. I only think it looks good is if Saquon gets going, because if they can't run the ball, I don't think they're going to be able to throw the ball. I think the Rams just defensively had looked so solid. And Stafford against this Eagles defense last year looked good. And there's some new faces on that defense still kind of get adjusting to Vic Fangio's play calling. Could be upset potential here for the Rams on the road. I know it's a West Coast team going on the road, but I think you kind of throw that away with Sean McVay being the coach he is. Because I called it in week one, I believe with Pete Carroll going on the road against the Patriots and with the Vegas Raiders, they were able to win West Coast, East Coast, noon games. And they're just so well coached, the Rams. And I think they're going to be ready. And Nacua and Kupp last year were able to have really good success against this Eagles defense, and maybe that's probably where the weakness is for the Eagles defense is the secondary. So this is going to be a close game. I think it's a field goal game. Either way, I am leaning towards the Rams. I just think, I don't know, the Rams just look really good this year, and it's scary because they're in the division of the Niners, which makes me a little worried. That division as a whole looks really damn good, and they have a favorable schedule playing both South divisions in both conferences, which is probably another reason why the division looks so good this year. I'm going field goal either way, but I'm leaning more towards the Rams. Second game I'm looking forward to is the Broncos and at the Chargers. Now, the Broncos should be 2-0. I already covered it in the wild finishes of last week, blowing that game. Chargers were 2-0 last year against the Broncos, 23-16, and then 34-27. I think the Chargers have just looked really impressive. What a schedule, though. Chargers, three straight divisional opponents to start the year. But listen, they're 2-0 in the division to start the year. Could they go 3-0, and then you got three games left? But right here, this is a good spot for the Broncos. It is on the road. Coming off a Monday night hard-fought game, physical game for that Chargers defense, short week. Let's see how they look against Bo Nix. Now, Herbert did have success against this Broncos defense last year, and this Broncos defense has looked good, but last week a little shaky. But again, they were on the road. West going east. I want to see Bo Nix be a little smarter with the ball in this game. He's going to have to, because this secondary and this defense of the Chargers flies around. And Harbaugh, being an offensive quarterback guru, always has the defenses playing really physical and hard-nosed, flying around and creating turnovers. So that's going to be probably a key point here. If Bo Nix doesn't throw an interception or fumble the ball and plays smart, I think they can go on the road and upset the Chargers. I think Harbaugh just settled. He settles in year two as a head coach here for the Chargers. But Herbert, successful against the Broncos last year, as I already mentioned. I don't know. I just think we're going to have a good game here. I think this is another one that can go either way, field goal game either way. I think I am leaning towards the Broncos, and this is an opportunity. Listen, the Chiefs, 0-2. Do we remember the last time they went 0-2? So for the Chargers, I think this is probably a bigger game just because you can take a 3-0 lead in the division. You have a 2-game lead over the Chiefs, and if the Broncos end up winning, that'll be great. Both teams will end up 2-1 with a couple games up on the Chiefs going into the Sunday night game with the Chiefs and Giants, which I don't know. I like it. with the slow start and how the Chiefs have looked offensively, could they go 0-3? I thought they were a lock to win last week, you know, being home dogs, which rarely happens, and they just couldn't move the ball against Philly. And yeah, I don't know. But the Broncos, Chargers, let's see, it's a divisional game. Always hard to predict, especially when these are two really good teams. I just think another field goal game. And then finally, last game I'm looking forward to, I mean, Monday night, Detroit traveling to Baltimore. High octane offenses, high offensive games last week. Both teams blowing out their opponents and scoring a lot of points. Now, Baltimore, could you ask for a better start offensively? Back-to-back games, scoring 40 points. Now, that game against Cleveland was a lot closer late, but they really took the top off and started scoring some points late there. And Detroit, you know, 52-point game. Now, Goff against Harbaugh, 0-2. The last two times they played, which is the last since he got to Baltimore the last 4 years. So we'll see. We'll see if they can bounce back and he can get his first win. But it is in Baltimore, which I just think Baltimore at home is kind of a different beast. Could we potentially see three straight weeks of 40 points? Because Detroit, you know, defensively isn't as strong as Baltimore defensively, but Baltimore, I don't know what it is. With all the talent they have in at all three levels on the defense, and they have a really good pass rush, they have a phenomenal linebacking core, and then their secondary, listen, they have my favorite defensive player in Kyle Hamilton in safety. They got Marlon Humphrey. They drafted Aaron Wiggins, who Wiggins is questionable. They're solid in the secondary, but they still, for some reason, just give up a lot of yards in the secondary and a lot of points. So we'll see how that goes. I think because of Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, these guys, like, they can get open, and I feel like a weak spot for Juwan Smith, maybe his pass coverage. Now, run stopper, he's great. And I believe they'll be able to kind of keep Gibbs and Montgomery at bay. So it'll have to be a throwing game. And if Goff and that offense can get off to a hot start, and kind of force Baltimore to throw, I mean, it really doesn't matter. Lamar's Lamar. He's proven the last couple years he is now an elite thrower of the ball. And I'm looking for another bounce. I'm looking for a King Henry bounce back game too. He was held to 28 yards last week, under 30 yards against Cleveland. I just don't see that happening 2 weeks in a row. I just think you got to keep get Henry going, and we could see a 120-yard game from Derrick Henry here. But I like Baltimore in this spot just because they're at home. Could we see a potential blowout? Maybe, because like I said, they are really good. And teams that usually score 52 points tend to come back a little bit. But it is Detroit. They had a couple 52-point games last year, and that offense was still explosive week in and week out. So, yeah, this one, I'm going to say a touchdown game in Baltimore's favor, but I still think it's going to be a show on Monday night, and it's going to look good. All right. Those are the games to watch. But how about we go into the picks that matter?
We don't do anything illegal.
Debt-free pick three.
Look what I found in my pocket. Look. A year's salary right here. What I call them? A fun coupon.
This is the Debt-Free Pick 3.
On the final play.
With Mikey Clutch.
That's right. The Debt-Free Pick 3. Another winning week. coming off, I mean, to start the season, 4-2, I'll take it. Two games above 500. I would look to go 60% throughout the entire season. We are going 66%. We're hot. All right. Well, we won last week with Atlanta covering against Minnesota. We had Seattle against Pittsburgh. And then Dallas, yeah, 5.5. Big number against the Giants. It was close. You know, they still won outright. They won by 3, but they couldn't cover. I was hoping for a touchdown in that overtime and a stop, but it just didn't happen. But I love this week. I love even more than last week. I'm not going to predict a perfect week like last week because you know how that goes. But first game, really like this one. Titans plus 4.5 at home versus the Colts. I think that's too big of a number, to be honest. Listen, Colts should have lost that game. All right. And the Titans were in these games in the fourth quarter, week one and week two, against Denver and the Rams. And guess what? Two backbreaking fumbles in their own territory allowed these teams to put the games away. So I look for them, who played the Titans well last year, to come out and actually win outright. I do have them plus 4.5 at home. Titans winning 27-24. And Cam Ward getting his first win as a rookie quarterback. Second game. I don't know why. I get it. Justin Fields is out. But I like the Jets on the road plus 6.5 against the Bucks. Bucks, Monday night, short week. A grinded out game against Houston on the road. Winning late, you know, high emotional victory. Tyrod Taylor is getting the start for the Jets. But I think if the Jets run the ball, have some success, get that play action game going. Tyrod Taylor is a really good game manager. He's very accurate with the ball. I think this is a good recipe and a good spot here for the Jets. Taylor is 3-0 against the spread with one outright win his last three starts. I get it. That's kind of sporadic going over the last couple years. But I do like this rushing attack for the Jets. Braylon Allen and Breece Hall, which Breece Hall we know can be an elite catcher out of the backfield, which I think also benefits Tyrod Taylor's style. It just short dump offs and let Breece Hall do the rest. And Braylon Allen, this kid, I still can't believe this kid's what, like 21 years old or something like that, and in his second year. So I do like the Jets in this spot. And I don't think they win outright, but hey, they could potentially. But I like the Jets 20 to cover against the Bucks 24. And then finally, now this one, I wanted to go Dallas against the Bears. But I didn't want to put Dallas in the debt-free, and they burned me last week. So I'm taking a home favorite with the Seahawks, minus 7.5 against the Saints. Saints have hung around. I get it, both games. But both games were at home. All right, they still lost by 7 at home against the Cardinals. They got a field goal that kind of pushed it within the 7. And then the Niners, you know, they hung around that game. But again, both games at home. Spencer Rattler, yes, has looked good. But going into Seattle is a different beast. They're one of the few teams that actually still have a home field advantage with the 12th man. And I just think last week was a strong showing for Seattle. And this defense is just going to keep getting better. And I think it's going to be hard for the Saints to move the ball unless Alvin Kamara can have a career day. It's going to be really tough. I really like Seattle at home to keep a strong showing here. I like Seattle 23-24 against the Saints. So, yeah, those are my debt-free pick three picks of the week. I got Tennessee at home, plus 4.5. Jets on the roads, plus 6.5. And the Seahawks at home, minus 7.5. Let's hope for another strong week. Man, to start the season, if we can go 6-3, I will take it. Man, 7-2 would be phenomenal. But, yeah, that's going to do it for the final play. Take you out. God bless.